Well, welcome everybody to our service this morning. It's good to see all of you today. We were saying earlier, it is actually Tuesday this coming week is the anniversary of the start of the first lockdown. So we've been here almost a year now. And I think it's been good. I think we've actually managed to get closer together between the Methodist and the Baptist fellowships, and with one thing or another, there has been good that has come out of the necessity to be having services on Zoom. And as we look forward, to being able to continue that close fellowship together. Now, Paul is leading our service today, so now I will hand over to him, Paul.
Thank you, Adrian. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all today. I want to start off this morning by reading you a few verses from the book of Hebrews. It's not a book probably we look at very often, but there's a lot of good words in here which just remind us of the nature of Jesus. And these verses make us think about the picture of Jesus as our high priest, the one who is able to intercede for us and enable us to come before God's throne. And the writer of Hebrews says this. He says, during the days of Jesus's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Our first hymn this morning is Before the Throne of God Above. Let's come before God now in prayer. Heavenly Father, we often talk about when we come before you in prayer, we come before your throne of grace. And Father, it's only because of the death of Jesus, Lord, the sacrifice that he made upon the cross, that we're able to come before your throne. That it's through Jesus, Father, that we have access, Father, to your love, to your grace, and to your mercy. We're reminded, Father, that in days of old, the high priests would offer sacrifices again and again through animals and blood and various other things, Father. But when Jesus came and he offered himself as a living sacrifice upon the cross, he washed us from our sin. He enabled us, Father, to be clean and to come before you, Father, as a son, Lord, comes before their father. And it's a privilege, Father, to call you Abba, Father, this morning, because, Lord, we have been made clean by Jesus' blood. We pray, Father, that as we worship you today in this service, that we might really know your presence here with us. Lord, even though we're all separated, Father, by the situation, Lord, you enable us by your Holy Spirit to be one. We're joined together, Father, by your love. Your Spirit, Father, will move among us, Lord, wherever we are, whatever our situation today. We just ask, Father, that each one of us might really know you in our hearts. Draw us, Lord, even closer to yourself, so that one day, Lord, when we sit with you, not before the throne, Lord, but as kings and princes, Lord, on our thrones, Father, with you in heaven, we might be truly one because of Jesus. Father, thank you. Be with us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to listen now to our first reading, which Janet's going to bring us.
John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Some Greeks seek Jesus. Some Greeks were among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival. They went to Philip, he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am. And my Father will honour anyone who serves me." And Jesus speaks about his death. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, 'Father, do not let this hour come upon me'? But that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice spoke from heaven, "I have brought glory to it, and I will do so again." The crowd standing there heard the voice, and some of them said it was thunder, while others said an angel spoke to him. But Jesus said to them, "It was not for my sake that this voice spoke, but for yours. Now is the time for this world to be judged. Now the ruler of this world will be overthrown. When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to me." In saying this, he indicated the kind of death he was going to suffer.
Thank you, Janet, for that. We're going to think about that reading in a moment or two, but before we do, we're going to join and sing Who Is There Like You?
Who is there like you?
Who is there like you? And who else would give their life for me? Even suffering in my place. And who could repay all of
As I say, we're going to just think for a few moments about the reading that Janet read to us a little while ago. And it's an incident where some Greeks come to see Jesus. There's not much information in the passage as to exactly who these Greeks were and where they came from. But it seems they were very keen to see Jesus. And I just wondered really, who or what really that these Greeks were expecting to see when they came to see Jesus. And what our response is and what we expect of Jesus. The first thing I think is that Jesus wants us to see the real him, the real Jesus. These Greeks came at the time of the Passover, and remember, Greeks were Gentiles and not Jews. And two of the disciples, Andrew and Philip, brought the Greeks to see Jesus. And I suspect they probably heard about him by reputation or by his teaching or things that people had told them about it, but probably didn't really understand who Jesus was and what his message was all about. And even today, I think people have got very different expectations of Jesus. In Jesus's day, the Jews were expecting a Messiah, weren't they? Somebody who was going to deliver them from the oppression of the Romans. And today, I think if you went out into the street and did a poll and asked people what they thought of Jesus or who Jesus was, I think you'd get quite a variety of responses. And, you know, many people don't believe in Jesus, or if they do, have got different views about him. And it's a very sort of confusing picture, isn't it? You know, we're hearing on the news that Britain is becoming an increasingly non-Christian and secular society. And Jesus is becoming less and less important in people's lives. And to many people, he's just completely irrelevant, somebody that, you know, they just hear about. You know, if you go to a wedding or a funeral these days, many of them, they've got no kind of Christian element in them at all, have they? You know, and people do all sorts of different things in those services. I remember when I was young, and we're talking here probably when I was about under school age, I would say, my mum used to take me to a service we had at our church called Tiny Tots. And it's hard to imagine, isn't it, me being a tiny tot? But I was once, you know. And in the church I used to go to, we used to have lots of different pictures of Jesus dotted around the church. And later on, when I went to Sunday school, we did. And I'm sure when you've been into church buildings, you know, there's pictures like the ones that we've got on the screen there. And it's quite interesting, I always think, that, you know, how Jesus in pictorial form is portrayed. You know, although these are all very different pictures that if you can see on the screen of Jesus, you know, there's elements of all the pictures that are very similar, aren't they? You know, he had a sort of a white robe on, usually with sort of long hair and a beard. And, you know, it's very often, if you look at sort of children's books and things like that, you know, the sort of pictorial image of Jesus is very, very similar. And, you know, if you think of in plays and films and things, you know, he all looks very much the same. I'm sure a lot of people think that Jesus looks like Mel Gibson or Robert Powell, you know, and, you know, the image, isn't it, that people have of him. And these sort of images, I think, kind of influence our notion of who Jesus is and what Jesus is like. But I think the reality is that Jesus that Jesus wants us to see is a completely different one from that. You know, and very often we have this sort of rose-tinted spectacles idea, don't we, of Jesus and the Jesus who's gentle, meek and mild and that kind of thing. And in this passage, Jesus is saying, when you think of me, you need to think of the cross. Look at the cross. The cross is the image that tells the whole story about who Jesus is. And in verse 24, he uses a parable. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I suspect this was a common proverb or a common saying in Jesus's day. And he uses it really to get over the image that for life, new life to take place, you've got to have a seed, a small thing that will die and produce fruit. And he uses this parable, this of the grain of wheat. And that's the thing, isn't it? The reality is that the life of others is made possible through the death on the cross by Jesus. If you look at Jesus's life, he didn't come to have a life of ease. He didn't have a large house. He was not wealthy or comfortably off at all. And I think this is a hard picture to understand. You know, success in this world is usually based on how much you've got, isn't it? Whereas Jesus is saying, well, your worth in the next world is based on nothing really at all. Listen to these words from Isaiah, which kind of paint the picture of the kind of person that Jesus is and the kind of person, I think, that Jesus wants us to be. He says this, he said he had no beauty or majesty to attract him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, familiar with pain, like one whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Completely turns upside down, doesn't it? The picture of what success means. You know, the success of Jesus and his salvation is completely different, isn't it? That the way the world looks at success today. The second thing is that I think Jesus wants us to serve him in the same way that he serves us. It's an example, isn't it? Jesus suffering and dying on the cross, of the kind of Christian life that Jesus wants us to be. You know, he says anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And a bit of a paradox, isn't it? A difficult teaching, I believe, for us to understand. I think when he's talking, though, about, you know, losing our lives, it's not mean we should be getting so fed up with this life that we just want to, you know, commit suicide and end it all. You know, he doesn't mean that at all. The word hate in Greek doesn't mean the same as the word hate does in our language today. It means that we should love something less. It's got a different kind of connotation of it. So if you look at this verse and put it into context, it means that, you know, it refers to loving less or not caring so much. In other words, it's about getting our priorities right in this world. You know, what are the most important things that we should be concentrating on in this world? You know, should it be keeping our life going and keeping the things that we find important? Or should we be focusing more on the things that Jesus considers important? And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here when he's talking about hating our life in this world, keeping it for eternal life in the next. He means that if we're truly serious about following God, then we should be ready to give up life itself. You know, we need to put to death, don't we, the things of this world, the riches, the pleasures, the things that, you know, we often consider important, and things I think we'd find hard sometimes to give up if we're honest. But to do it in the knowledge that God's got a better reward stored up for us in heaven. I don't think Jesus means that he wants us to live a life of austerity and go and live in a monastery or a nunnery or anything like that. But he does want us, I think, to think about what our priorities are. I don't know about you, the last 12 months, I think, has certainly made us all think about life, hasn't it? And about priorities, about what's important and what's not. And Jesus doesn't want us to get the things that are important in this world in the way of our priorities at all. They want our priorities to be thinking about the things that are important in the next world. I'm sure, you know, you've heard many people, I'm sure even some of us have said, you know, I don't know how I could do without, you know, my mobile phone if the internet goes down or some, you know, the central heating breaks or something like that. You know, to many people, it's kind of the end of the world, isn't it? You know, and there's many things that if they were taken away, I'm sure we'd find it hard, wouldn't we? Computers, television, food and family and all those kinds of things. And, you know, it makes us think, doesn't it, about what our priorities are. And Jesus doesn't want these things to stand in the way of our commitment to him. You know, Jesus' suffering on the death on the cross wasn't the end of everything, was it? It was the beginning. It was the pathway, the access, the way the high priest, by offering that, Jesus offering that final sacrifice, enables us the access that he wants us to have to God. I'm sure we've all heard the expression, no pain, no gain, haven't we? And, you know, to do anything often requires a bit of effort. One of the things that have happened to me, certainly during lockdown, is I've put on a bit of weight. And I'd really love to be able to lose this weight, but I know that I'm actually going to do something about it. I'm going to do a bit more exercise, to eat a bit less food, and to not kind of sit around and slob around so much as I have a tend to do. And it does take a bit of effort. And Jesus is saying, you know, that if you want to follow him and to follow the way of Jesus on the cross, requires a bit of effort, doesn't it? Requires giving things up sometimes and doing things perhaps that we would rather not do, and it goes away against the way of the world. You know, so often, you know, the kind of life we want, if we're honest, is an easy one, isn't it? One that doesn't require kind of much sacrifice at all. But Jesus is saying here that, you know, our Christian faith really is a life of sacrifice. A faith that costs nothing is perhaps a faith that's not worth very much at all. Jesus says these words. He says, whoever follows me, serves me, if I can have the next slide up, Adrian. He says these words. He says, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. And my Father will honor the one who serves me. So just some food, I think, for us to feed upon today, some words to reflect upon. You know, where are we in our Christian faith today? Are there things in our lives that are perhaps getting in the way of us serving Jesus in the way that he wants us to serve him? We're going to have another song now, which again focuses upon the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. And following this, Adrian then is going to lead us into communion.
Thank you. think upon your sacrifice, you became nothing, put out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again. And once again I look up on the cross where you died. I'm humbled by your mercy and I'm broken inside. To the highest place, King of the heavens, where one day I'll bow. But for now, I marvel at this saving grace, and I'm full of praise once again. And I'm full of praise once again. And once again.
In a few minutes, we will be coming to our communion service. But first, we're going to have a time of prayer together. Over the past year, we've been gathering for our Zoom services on a Sunday. We've also been gathering in the week for prayer on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we've been having Bible studies, etc., online, during which we have prayed for those in our fellowship. What I want to do now is to think back. As I said at the start, it's a year this week since lockdown started. When we get to the end of our calendar year in December, in the last weeks of that, we often pause to look back and then to think forward. And I want to do that in a way today, just before we come into communion, to think about all the things that have occurred. Many of you will have seen this prayer chart. We've used it to record things that we have been praying for. Every day we remember in our prayers those in our fellowship. There are things that we pray and we remember with some regret and grief. The prayers for those who sadly passed away and their families as they adjust to life without their loved ones this year. Those who haven't been able to have the services to remember that they would have wished in churches. Recently, we've been remembering Norma, Dawn's brother, Alan, Winnie Clifton, Jonathan Lloyd, Joyce Lathwaite, others who have died. I tried to go through all the names of those who have died known to us over the last year. I would miss names out. There are some that I don't know the names of that are known to you, but we pray for them at this time. But there are things that we should be giving thanks for at this time as well. For the spiritual warmth in the fellowship. I really do believe that we have gained in our spiritual health and wealth during this time. We may not have been able to get physically together, but spiritually I think we have become closer. We have been thinking about God's work. We give thanks for the King's Club, for the Girls' Brigade, for the Bible study and link groups. We give thanks for the technology that has allowed us to join together. We give thanks for the response that there has been to this pandemic, for the development of vaccines, for the scientists who have researched and developed them, but giving thanks to God that he has guided them, that it is his creation that they have been working with in order to bring us this protection. We remember those in hospital. Many have been in hospital for reasons other than COVID, and it's very easy to forget about them. And others who would have been in hospital, would have received treatment, but haven't at this time. One of our common prayers over the years has been for those on the mission field, missionaries who've gone abroad to work with others. In modern times, often working in hospitals as doctors and nurses, working with agricultural ministries, working with social working in communities. Many of those missionaries have had to come home at this time. But we still pray for them. We still pray for the work. And we especially do pray for those who are still working abroad through their work, witnessing to Jesus Christ, our Lord. We continue to pray for all the staff, carers, visitors at our care homes, in our hospitals. We pray today, supporting the families and friends of those who have found these times difficult. We come now. We will say the Lord's Prayer together, bringing all of these things to God as we say the familiar words, bringing all who are on our minds at this time. During the week, we had a verse which said that God answers our prayers before we even speak them. He knows what is on our mind before we even speak our prayers, and he is working to answer them before we even utter them. God hears us today. Let us now pray the words that he taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We now come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, sharing in the bread and the wine. The bread reminds us of Christ's body broken for us, for all of us. Gracious God, who became flesh in the person of Jesus, be Emmanuel for us now. Turn our thoughts and our hearts to the reason for this part of our worship, so we might reflect on the reason you came. For you came to us as a child destined for the cross. Help us to remember. Amen. So let us remember the story of the Last Supper. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Then he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me." Dear Lord, for this bread, the produce of your creation and the work of human hands, we give you our thanks. And we thank you deeply for Jesus, our brother and our Lord. So let us now remember, as we share the loaf as sisters and brothers in Christ, let us share and partake of the bread. Then the cup containing the wine representing the blood of Christ that was spilt for us. Jesus, after supper, took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is the cup of the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood for the forgiveness of sins." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this symbol of your sacrifice when you were poured out and your life drained for our sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this earth as a pure child and for dying a blameless man, so that we sinners might once more be innocent in the sight of God. Therefore, we now drink the cup of the new relationship with God, made possible by the sacrifice of Jesus. Let us drink the wine together. We give you thanks for this act of remembrance and celebration for all you have done. We thank you that the empty cross shows your victory and gives us eternal hope. And we lift to you now the names of all we have remembered in our minds, on our screens. And we bring them, praying in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We come to the end of our service. We're going to sing together, "In Christ Alone."
Still. solid ground, firm through the fiercest droughts and storms.
We're going to have a blessing now, and then if you would like to unmute yourself, we'll say the grace together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look at you with favour and give you his peace. Let's say the following prayer together, shall we?
I just think I wasn't on mute.
And may the blessing of the Lord
Almighty,
well, we did that one.
That's it then.
Well, thank you, Paul. You've given us much to ponder on. over the next days. News just that our service is next Sunday being led by the local resource worship group, made up of both Baptist and Methodist people. So we are looking forward to them bringing something different to us next week. They always bring us something which makes us think deeply upon what we're going to do. So we're looking forward to that next week. Are there any other notices people have for us today?
Yes, Adrian, can I just add to that? Yeah, the service next week, you'll need to bring some hand cream with you. Have some hand cream close by. You'll find out what that's for during the service. And then also, there's quite a few dramatic readings that we need to, we need volunteers for, or we might approach people to take part. So if anyone's got a burning desire to do something, let me know, or I'm sure we'll contact you during the week. Thank you.
Thank you.
An update. I've had another one from Carey whilst we're on the service here. So come on, get pull your socks up at Kingsthorpe, because of the reminder this morning, they're pulling theirs up now.
Okay.
And that was from a young lad who was who's only 11, and he's done it on his own.
Well, we'll be meeting for prayer Monday, Wednesday and Friday as usual this week. So for those who can join us, we will look forward to you then. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you next Sunday morning. So hope you all have a good day and a good rest of the week. And let us part sharing fellowship one with another. Thank you.
Bye, Daniel. Perhaps you and your family could do a recording for me. That would be lovely to have a family one. That would be four of you. If you all hold it, if you all sing together, that would bump the numbers up by four. I'm assuming you have the email.
Sorry?
I'm assuming you have the email to do it.
Okay. I can do it.
I haven't got your email address, but Adrian, can you email it across so they can
get
their afternoon entertainment for them?
Okay, bye, Daniel.
Bye. Can I leave that with you, Adrian, to see if we can encourage them to do it?
Yeah,
because it would be nice to have a family unit one on a Kingsthorpe.
We've got one with a baby on.
We've got one with a baby on, and we've got the young boy on ours doing it. So it would be quite nice if we could encourage them to be a family unit on, and you know that would bump the numbers up by four for you.
Yes,
I bet the baby's singing better than we do.
the one at Carey sent me two videos in. He's 1 year old, the baby. So it's just one. The first one, he was fidgeting, so they did it again. The second one, he was holding the toys and he kept throwing them on the floor. And then he got another grandparent sitting by the side of him on the floor, who wasn't singing, who was passing. And as soon as she passed him, he threw it back on the floor, and it was. And then they just burst out laughing on the middle, in the middle of the video. And they say, "We sent you this one. Obviously, you can't use it. But I said we'll do it as an outtake on Carey at the end of the It's hilarious. It's really funny to watch.
Thanks. Bye.
I messaged Mary as well, because she wasn't on. I've texted Mary.
Okay. Freddie and Mary.
Got it. Bye.
Thank you for the flowers, Janet and Bob. They're lovely.
You're welcome.